The death of 60-40 and the next 40-year macro trade. Listen up. Today we're going to talk about why everything you think you know about investing is dead wrong, why your financial advisor is setting your money on fire, and exactly what you need to own for the next 40 years. No fluff, no theory, just cold hard reality about where macro is headed. Let's start with some history, because if you don't understand the last 40 years, you're going to get slaughtered in the next 40. From 1980 to 2020, we witnessed the single greatest macro trade in human history, the 40-year bond bull market. Interest rates didn't fall continuously, that's not how markets work, but they trended down from 20% to basically zero. Think about that. In 1981, Paul Volcker jacked the Fed funds rate to 20%. 20%. Today's investors cry when rates hit 5%. The 10-year Treasury yield peaked at 15.8%. By 2020, it hit 0.5%. Why did this happen? Simple. Volcker crushed inflation like a bug. We went from 13.5% inflation in 1980 to the Fed's nice, comfortable 2-3% target. Then globalization kicked in. Cheap Chinese labor kept prices down. Technology made everything more efficient. Demographics shifted as populations aged and old people don't spend money, they save it. And here's the kicker. The more debt we accumulated, the more sensitive the economy became to rate increases, which meant rates had to keep falling. By 2008, central banks hit zero and couldn't go lower, at least not in America. Europe and Japan said, "Hold my beer," and went negative. They literally paid people to borrow money. Insanity. Now, if you owned the right assets during this period, you got filthy rich. If you owned the wrong ones, you got destroyed. The winners, long-duration bonds, were the purest play. 30-year treasuries returned about 11% annualized. You collected a fat coupon and got massive price appreciation. It was like printing money. U.S. equities crushed it too, especially growth and tech. The S&P 500 did 11.5% annualized. The NASDAQ from 1985 to 2020 returned 12.5% annually. Why? Because when rates fall, multiples expand. A company growing at 20% is worth way more at 2% rates than at 10% rates. Basic math. Real estate was a gold mine. Rates returned 12% annualized, but here's the real secret. If you bought property with 70 to 80% leverage, you made generational wealth. Cap rates compressed from over 10% to 4 to 6%. You made money on the asset appreciation, and the debt got inflated away. Private equity had its golden age. Top quartile funds posted 15 to 20% net IRRs. Why? Cheap leverage plus multiple expansion equals money printer. Now the losers, and this is where most retail investors got murdered. Cash was death by a thousand cuts. You went from earning 10% on your savings to zero. After inflation, you lost 2 to 3% every year for 40 years. The opportunity cost was catastrophic. Commodities got crushed. Gold only managed 5% annualized, saved by a bull run in the 2000s. Oil posted negative real returns. Agricultural commodities got destroyed by technology and productivity gains. And if you were one of those geniuses who bought Japanese assets in 1990, congratulations, the Nikkei is still down 50% from its peak, 3.5 decades later. But here's where it gets interesting, and by interesting I mean terrifying. The defining feature of every developed economy today is extreme debt. In 1980, U.S. debt to GDP was 50%. Today, it's 130%. Corporate debt went from $3 trillion to $13 trillion. Household debt exploded from $1.4 trillion to $17 trillion. Here's the math nobody wants to admit. if rates went back to 10%, U.S. interest expense alone would consume 50% of tax revenue. Half. The government would have to choose between paying bondholders and keeping the lights on. We already saw what happens when rates hit 5%. UK pensions blew up at 4.5% gilt yields. A Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic collapsed. Commercial real estate started imploding. The system can't handle historically normal rates anymore. We've built an entire economy on free money. So what's the rate ceiling? Probably 5 to 7% before something systemically important breaks. The Fed knows this. The ECB knows this. The BOJ has known this for 30 years, which brings us to the next 40 years. Forget about rate normalization. We're heading into financial repression 2.0, and if you're not positioned for it, you're going to get steamrolled. Here's what's coming. First, negative real rates forever. They'll let inflation run at 3 to 4% while keeping nominal rates at 2 to 3%. That's negative 1 to 2% real yields. It's stealth debt debasement, and it's the only way out of this mess that doesn't involve default or revolution. Second, yield curve control goes global. The Japan model, where central banks cap long-term rates, spreads everywhere. Markets stop being price discovery mechanisms and become policy tools. Third, currency debasement becomes a race to the bottom. All developed markets debase together. The dollar, euro, yen, pound, they all get debased in lockstep. Real assets become the only monetary refuge. Fourth, geopolitical fragmentation accelerates. The dollar hegemony gets challenged. We get multiple currency blocks, multiple trading systems. Deglobalization means higher structural inflation. Fifth, demographics create a doom loop. Aging populations need more entitlements. Fewer workers mean higher wages, which means more inflation. Immigration becomes an economic necessity, not a political choice. Bottom line, we're Japan with worse demographics and no social cohesion. Rates can spike temporarily, like they did in 2022, but the debt math forces them back down. So what do you actually buy? Here are your core long positions, and you must use leverage on these. First, residential real estate with 70 to 80% loan to value. Governments will protect housing at all costs because homeowners vote. Fixed rate mortgages are a free inflation hedge. Supply is constrained in tier one cities. You're targeting 15 to 20% IRRs with leverage. This is your wealth foundation. Second, producers. Use leveraged ETFs like ERX for energy, GUSH for oil and gas, NOGT for gold miners, COPTIS for copper. Why producers over commodities? It's because commodities are dead money. No cash flow, storage costs, futures, contango bleeds you dry. Look at USO, the oil ETF. It's down 90% since 2008 while oil recovered. Meanwhile, when oil goes from $80 to $100, Exxon's free cash flow goes from $30 billion to $50 billion. That's 67% earnings growth on a 25% commodity move. Operating leverage is beautiful. Third, emerging market local currency debt with 2 to 3 times leverage via swaps. Brazil, Mexico, India, they're paying 8 to 12% yields while the dollar gets debased. And unlike developed markets, EM central banks can actually raise rates without blowing up their economies. For tactical longs without leverage, Bitcoin, but unlevered only, it's your sovereign crisis hedge, digital gold. Keep it at 5 to 10% of your portfolio max. If you want leverage, buy the miners, Mara, Riot, CLSK, give you 3 to 5 times Bitcoin beta, or MSTR MicroStrategy, which holds 190,000 Bitcoin and trades like leveraged Bitcoin. then infrastructure and utilities. Boring is beautiful in chaos. Government guaranteed returns with inflation pass-throughs built in, for example, XLU, IGLB, TOLL, and defense contractors. Geopolitical fragmentation means a spending boom. Lockheed, Raytheon, Northrop, they print money regardless of who's in power. ITA is your ETF, now your shorts, and use options or structured products, not naked shorts. First, long-duration sovereign bonds like German bunds, JGBs and US Treasuries over 10 years. Use TBT for 2x inverse Treasury exposure, TTT for 3x inverse. The asymmetric risk-reward at these yields is insane. Second, European banks. Negative rates killed their business model. They're facing a demographic and regulatory death spiral. Short EUFN or use EPV for 2x inverse Europe exposure. Third, traditional retail REITs, malls and offices are dead. Use SRS for 2x inverse real estate or short SPG, MAC, SKT directly. Now for currencies, go long commodity currencies like Norwegian krone, Aussie dollar, Canadian dollar. Short the euro and yen, they're demographic disasters. Use FXA and FXC for longs, short FXE and FXY. But here's the trade with the most explosive upside, uranium. Listen to these numbers. Global demand is 200 million pounds. Production is 140 million pounds. That's a 60 million pound structural deficit. There are no substitutes. Nuclear reactors must buy uranium or shut down. Spot price is $100 per pound. It was $20 in 2020. Utilities need $150+ to incentivize new supply. The last cycle hit $140 in 2007, and that was before China decided to build 150 new reactors. Here's the kicker. AI data centers need massive baseload power. Each ChatGPT query uses 10x the energy of a Google search. Where's that power coming from? It's nuclear. So buy URNM, the Sprott Uranium Miners ETF. Buy CCJ Cameco, the largest producer. Buy SRUUF, the Sprott Physical Uranium Trust. This is a 5 to 10x opportunity over 5 years. And here's how you structure this entire portfolio. 40% real estate with leverage, 20% commodity producer equities, including uranium, 15% emerging markets, 10% defensive plays in infrastructure, utilities, and defense, 10% Bitcoin and TBT, lastly, 5% cash for opportunities. And if you want maximum violence and can handle 50% drawdowns, 30% uranium, 20% Bitcoin miners, 20% energy, 20% emerging markets, and 10% treasury shorts. Here's what nobody wants to admit. You're not investing anymore. You're front-running policy. The best trade isn't finding value. It's positioning where governments must inject liquidity. They will protect real estate because voters own homes. They will debase the currency because they can't pay the debt. They will suppress rates because the alternative is fiscal collapse, and they will print money because the political cost of deflation is revolution. Your job isn't to fight this. Your job is to get on the right side of it. Own things governments can't print. Short things they must debase. Use their leverage against them. So the 60-40 portfolio is dead. Bonds at par are dead. European equities are dead. And pension funds are walking zombies. What lives? Real assets, commodity producers, emerging markets, things with pricing power in an inflationary world. And one last thing. Everyone's worried about recession, about rates, about the next crash. Sadly, they're fighting the last war. The next 40 years won't look like the last 40. So position yourself accordingly or you'll get run over. So this is your wake-up call. Now go execute.